It's Arts ID on KRCB Radio. I'm your host, Robin Pressman. Coming up next, we change gears a little bit and talk about a very personal story, First Love, from David Templeton. Arts ID is very fond of Pinky. David Templeton's story of his pursuit of his first love first took shape as a radio story on the very first episode of Arts ID a couple of years ago. Since then, he's written the story as a two-person play, which opens Friday, March 9th at Main Stage West in Sebastopol. But here's the original story as it first ran 2 years ago on Arts ID.
As a teenager in the 70s, I used to read a lot, lots of fantasy. You know, big epic adventures, stuff with swords in it. At the movies, I was a sucker for the Disney animated fairy tales. Dragons, magic mirrors, damsels in distress. In all those stories, though, it was never the handsome, good-looking heroes or the blank-faced princes that I identified with. Now, I always felt the most kinship with the tragic second-string characters, the trolls, the woodsmen, the flying monkeys, or maybe the cursed princes. Like in Beauty and the Beast, you know? Otherwise decent guys, now doomed to become monsters or frogs or hedgehogs, I identified with them. But those dashing dudes in tights, the knights in shining armor, the Prince Charmings? I hated those guys. Still, for a few months there, I had this secret. Hidden in a box in my room was a custom-made Prince Charming outfit. A pretty decent replica of the one worn by the prince in Disney's Sleeping Beauty. The cape, the boots, and, yeah, the tights. Only a handful of my friends knew about it. So, what was the deal with that suit? And why had I also recently started taking horse riding lessons? What was the motivation behind all of this? Her name was Pinky. We lived in the same Los Angeles suburb. We went to different high schools, but we attended the same church. I was 15 when I first met her. She was 14. I was smitten, just totally smitten, from the first moment I saw her. That first time in 1975 was at a Bible study. Pinky had long brown hair. She had freckles. She was gorgeous. I don't know when exactly I first learned about Prince Charming. That's what Pinky called the future love of her life, Prince Charming, PC for short. See, Pinky had this list, her PC list, a series of attributes that her own personal Prince Charming would have. The way I remember it, there were 10 things on that list. No one except Pinky knew what all those things were. Now, by then, everyone knew, because I was pretty obvious, that I wanted to be Pinky's Prince Charming. I'd have done anything, changed anything about me to make myself Prince Charming. For years, I only hinted to Pinky about my feelings. When I finally did make those feelings known, she was a little taken aback. I mean, we'd always been just friends. To make her position completely clear, she let me know that on her PC scale, I was a 7. Just a 7. But 7? Hey, it could be worse, right? If I was a 7, I only had 3 to go. I straight out asked her if there was any way that I could work my way higher up that list to somehow become a 10. What she said was, "Hey, it never hurts to try." What specifically can I do? I wanted to know. Well, sweep me off my feet, she suggested. How do I do that? If you're Prince Charming, Pinky said, you'll figure it out. So how does a nerdy 17-year-old sweep a girl off her feet? If you're me, if you're a Tolkien fan, you start writing her poems in Elvish. You recruit some kids from your church to dress up like dwarves and hobbits with little fake beards and hats and get them to deliver roses to the girl's front door. You sneak into her front yard and fill it with Christmas trees. I did all that and a lot more. The more elaborate my schemes became, the more of my friends I pulled into my sweeping Pinky off her feet plan. One of my more down-to-earth co-schemers was Laura, who I'd known since the ninth grade.
I do remember very well the almost single-minded quest from David to get to Pinky. And I remember hearing "All Pinky All the Time," but she always seemed to engage David. And once it was kind of more one-sided, and I think David, being a wildly creative guy, just followed his heart, and his heart was clearly with Pinky. Well, I remember that there was a list, but I never saw the list. But I remember there was the PC or Prince Charming list, and it may have been a mental list. There were some physical attributes like eye color, height. I'm trying to think if there was an ability to play a musical instrument. Oh, maybe he had to be a good singer. He had to be maybe very organized and spotlessly clean.
I remember that there was a measurement, a metric of some sort that Pinky had in mind, and a metric that she used to decide who should be the man that she was with for the rest of time.
This is Jake. Jake would become one of my primary collaborators in my attempts to transform myself into Pinky's PC.
I remember that metric was either on a scale of 1 to 10 or 10 items. I do remember that it required a perfect score. That is, whoever was going to be the man that she was with would have to hit 10.
One night, Pinky called me to tell me that I had officially risen from 7 to 8 on the PC scale. This was a big moment for me. I mean, I made it to 8. I had just 2 more to go.
I don't remember a list. However, I did keep a journal. I did write down my heart from the time I was 14 all through high school and through college. And so I probably did have a list. I don't remember the list.
That's Pinky herself, who I should say I haven't seen face-to-face for over 25 years. Did she actually say she doesn't remember the list?
I'm sure I could remember a few of the things that were on it. But it's just funny to think about a list. How presumptuous. Oh, I'm sure that I wanted somebody who was tall and good-looking, and probably on the list would have been somebody who could play a musical instrument.
I definitely remember that there were blue eyes on her list.
Blue eyes could have been on the list. I don't know. I probably was looking for somebody with blue eyes.
For the record, I have blue eyes, but back to Pinky.
Well, you know, I suppose I set myself up for disappointments, or maybe even set other people up for disappointments. But I guess it gets back down to this. I'm a Christian. I have faith in God. I pray. And from an early age, I prayed and prayed and prayed for the man who would be my husband someday. Well, I knew that it would come about. Didn't know when, didn't know how, but I also knew that when it came about, I would know.
In most of the fantasy stories I read, the princess, at some point, is kidnapped by bad guys and then rescued by the good guy. Then, and only then, she sees him for what he really is, and they all live happily ever after. But there has to be a rescue first. During a series of feverish, late-night, caffeine-boosted brainstorming sessions with Jake and Laura and others, lightning finally struck. I knew how I could sweep Pinky off her feet. I'd have her kidnapped, and then I'd rescue her. The plan took me weeks to work out and months to set in place. There were two major elements. First came the treasure hunt. Using ideas and character names from The Lord of the Rings and The Narnia Chronicles, I planted clues all over town. Clues Pinky would use to gradually find her way to a spectacular treasure, in this case, a big stuffed lion. I took my task very seriously. I snuck a library book, volume one of The Complete Writings of Abraham Lincoln, into the restroom where I pasted a clue behind a replica version of the book's inside cover. I secretly sunk a clue in a fancy Japanese restaurant's big koi pond. At one point, I even disguised myself as a shopping mall custodian to bury a clue in plain sight amidst the shrubs and palm trees of the mall's well-manicured parking lot. The second part of the scheme was the most important. It required the involvement of dozens of people: makeup artists, costumers, fight choreographers, medieval weapon specialists. In short, Pinky would be abducted. There'd be a sword fight. I would rescue her. And she would see at last that I was, you know, Prince Charming.
There was a clue that showed up probably at my door, but every clue was coded or riddled, or in some way you had to solve a puzzle before you could get the clue, and then once you got the clue, you had to find where the clue led you. I do remember that one of the clues was where a wooded lake meets a fiery stone. There was an intersection in my town, just fitting the description of the wooded lake meeting the fiery stone, and I had to go in front of a thrifty drug and discount store. I had to stand in front of it and face south and pace 200 paces and then dig in the middle of this median, in the middle of a parking lot, in the middle of a shopping center. I had to dig down 2 feet to get the next clue. And so I did find the spot, and I did dig it up. And it was a little wooden chest, and inside was the next clue. It led me to a Catholic church, where I had to count the number of rows from the back of the church. And then I had to reach under the pew and get the next clue, which was taped to the underside of the pew in this Catholic church. I mean, it was so wonderful because it stretched my imagination and it stretched my ability. And it made me appreciate the creativity behind the clue giver. But it didn't stop there. The next day, I think the next day was the 4th of July. And on this day, I was kidnapped by orcs who were, you know, costumed bad guys, ruffians. I was kidnapped and blindfolded and taken in the back of a pickup truck. Being blindfolded, I was led down a series of brick steps to another bridge and a beautiful waterfall. And there were costumed heroes, including Aragorn, who was David, of course, protecting me from the orcs. There was a sword fight. are you getting all this?
So here's how it went. As Pinky and the kidnapper started to cross, I leaped onto the bridge. "Let the princess go or accept the consequences," I said. Jake, laughing evilly, said, "Remove the lady's blindfold so she can watch her rescuer die." I wrote the script. So then, using these really cool fight moves that we'd practiced for weeks, I fought and killed James and then Jake. The last was Jeff. We battled fiercely, clanging and clashing our swords. And then at one point, I noticed my hand was dripping blood. Holy what? Jeff had somehow actually slashed me. So I killed him. And as I stood above the waterfall, Jeff slowly rolled down the hill and back onto the bridge, where Pinky was still standing. So, when we asked her if she realized that all this, the treasure hunt, the sword fight, me rescuing her during which I was actually wounded, I still have the scar. When asked if she realized at that time that this was me trying to sweep her off her feet, here's what Pinky says.
Really? Well, literally, I was swept off my feet in that I was kidnapped. But I guess I never attributed it to a deeper love than a brotherly, sisterly love.
That is when I signed up for horse riding lessons. That is also when I ordered the Prince Charming suit. See, in fairy tales, a lot of times, there comes a point where the hero gets so totally beaten up by the three-headed monster or the one-eyed bridge keeper that he just really finally thinks, okay, time out. Methinks I'm being stupid. I wasn't there yet. I started planning out another adventure, another kidnapping. And this time, when I rescued Pinky, I would arrive on a horse, a white horse. I'd be dressed like Prince Charming. I'd ride up beside her, right in the thick of whatever danger I dreamed up for Pinky this time. I'd reach down, pull her up onto the horse, and gallop away. Clearly, I'd lost my mind. As it turns out, riding horses is not easy. After a couple of lessons, I realized that I was actually scared of horses. And it was pretty clear that horses hate me. By then, the suit had arrived. But I couldn't even bring myself to put it on. I'd left it in the box, waiting for the right time to make my big move. Then something happened that I could never have predicted. It was right before New Year's. Pinky and I had spent the night disposing of the 100 used Christmas trees that my friends and I had snagged from curbsides all over town. I'd left them standing in her front yard. I mean, I'd already done the roses thing. This time, I brought her a forest. So late that night, sitting in my truck, I confessed that I was on the verge of giving up on her, abandoning my quest. As we often did, we started talking about fairy tales. The fairy tales are kind of bogus, I suggested. I mean, in the fairy tales, the princess always sees the prince inside the monster. She said, I always believed it was the kiss that changed the beast into the prince. The kiss comes first. I considered that, wondering what her point was. Well, she finally said, what are you waiting for? So I kissed her, and she kissed me back. In fact, she kissed me a little more aggressively than I was prepared for. I was both thrilled. I mean, I'm actually kissing Pinky, but I was also a little taken aback. I took her home, and as we said goodbye, I asked if I could kiss her again. She held out her hand, suggesting I kiss her hand, like a loyal subject suddenly returned to his place among the rabble. And like that, I knew it. I'd failed the test. Any plans I had for that stupid PC suit, they were scrapped in that moment. I wasn't Prince Charming. And I was never going to be. Our friendship changed after that. Eventually, I just kind of called it off. After years spent trying to rescue Pinky, I finally realized it was me who needed rescuing from her, or maybe from my fantasy of her. So I moved on. Eventually, I met another girl. And this one, she hated fairy tales.
David Templeton's story of First Love is now reborn as a two-person play, opening on Friday, March 9th at Main Stage West in Sebastopol. David plays David, and Liz Jaron plays Pinky. The play is directed by Sherry Lee Miller. You're listening to Arts ID, KRCB's showcase on Sonoma County arts and artists in all forms and flavors.